second hymn is I Know This Rose Will Open, 396. Last one for this morning is come sing a song with me, and we will do the first and the fourth verse.
Good morning. Well, my name is Dee Evans. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. I welcome you to this community of love, a community that knows love is messy, difficult, sometimes painful, and often wonderful. Here we explore love and its many factors so that we may learn to love the world more. For we know that what the world needs is more loving minds and thinking hearts. The world needs compassion and understanding. The world needs us. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here, and we hope that to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children under the ages of 4 years old through the doors to the left. At the front, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. So feel free to go up and get some activities if you need to. You are invited to go to the spirit chair anytime during the service and to take the activity into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Okay, there were no announcements that were printed, shall I say, but I have, yes. Good, 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 good. I'm glad. Phil, if in case you didn't hear that, Phil said he's in his new home as of Thursday. So The other announcement we have is please come next Sunday dressed in your ratty clothes, because we're going to sort things out in the basement. And it's not, I promise you will not be kept over an hour and a half. We're quitting after an hour and a half, but we're just sorting next week. Please help. And if you do want to blame somebody for this, you can blame Mary Weber, since she's the one who wrote the email saying we needed to clean the basement. But so please come dressed however to help sort. Thank you. Joy is now going to play a prelude to open our service. My religion is a very simple one. My religion is kindness. These words by the Dalai Lama remind us that how we treat each other is important. In his teachings, the Dalai Lama also reminds us to be kind to ourselves. This is similar to the Christian teaching of loving others as you love yourself. Love is defined in many ways. Psychologists look at it as a very powerful emotion. Some in medicine defined it as the result of hormones in the emotional centers in the brain. Google the word love and you will come up with over 3 billion references. We could debate from many perspectives what love is. Sometimes, however, it is better to turn to the arts for understanding what it means to be human. So today, in the worship service, we will use poetry and a story to give us insight into love. This service was prepared by Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. Let us begin our worship, and Ben will help us light our chalice. Say the words on the wall with me. We light this chalice, thank you, Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark of all creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for those blessings each day. Our opening hymn today is The Song in Your Heart. Please stand as you can. Please be seated. This month, our theme has been love and the many ways we engage with love in the world. As we conclude this month, we turn our attention to when love is particularly difficult, painful, or elusive. We will explore this through poetry, story, and song. You are invited to let your imagination and your heart explore the love in the difficult places in this worship of lament and hope. We begin with a poem read by Sandy Shaner.
This is called Love Is Not Concerned by Alice Walker. Love is not concerned with whom you pray or where you slept the night you ran away from home. Love is concerned that the beating of your heart should kill no one.
I would like all my players in our play to come forward, please. Okay, you can all stay right here, except for you, yeah, okay. All right. No, you're part of a poem. Okay, a beautiful princess, raise your hand. A beautiful princess always laughed, even when she was sad. An evil fairy placed a curse upon her at birth, and the royal child simply could not cry. Thus she laughed at everything, which often proved to be embarrassing. Desperate, the queen called upon a wise seer. Where's our king? I did have a king. Are you the king? Did I make you king? I gave you a poem, did I not? Well, we got a king. We'll act like somebody. Can you also be the king? You're the queen, yes, okay. So the king called upon a wise seer and asked for her advice. The old woman gazed into a crystal ball for a long moment and then said with a voice as ancient as time, if the princess could be made to cry just once, the spell will be broken forever. Then she will be able to cry like a normal person. The king offered a rich reward of land and gold to anyone who could make his daughter cry without hurting her. Several people arrived at the castle with clever solutions. One woman told the tragic stories and sang sad songs for 2 days and two nights. The princess stayed happy and laughed. An unpleasant man made horrid faces and scary enough to frighten a child to tears. But the princess laughed and begged for more. One of the king's counselors suggested that the royal daughter be forced to throw her favorite toys down from the highest tower. The princess smiled as she gathered up her dolls and giggled as she stood up at the top of a winding staircase and threw them down and threw them down and threw them down. And she hooted and hollered as she tossed them all over the side one by one and watched them smash to pieces on the stone walkway far below. The king and queen were beside themselves with grief and wept loudly for their daughter. You can just weep loudly for your daughter. She heard them sobbing and couldn't keep herself from laughing even harder. One bright morning, soon after, a ragged little girl, we need our ragged little girl outside, came to the castle door. Her name was Gillian, and she lived deep in the forest with her old mother. They were as poor as scarecrows and just as skinny. To make matters worse, Gillian's mother had fallen terribly ill. The little girl pulled bravely on the bell rope, and a guard opened the heavy wooden door. "I've come to make the princess cry," said Gillian, in a small, frightened voice. The guard escorted her inside. The queen looked upon Gillian with her kindness and said, "Promise you won't hurt her." And Gillian said, "I promise, Your Majesty." Gillian was taken by the guard to the princess's room and left alone with her. News of the child's visit spread carefully throughout the castle, and a small group of counselors and noble people, kitchen staff and stable help, all joined the queen outside the princess's door. It wasn't long before they heard the amazing sound of two little girls sniffling. Then they heard quiet weeping, which soon changed to loud bawling. The queen could stand it no longer and threw open the door. What a surprise it turned out to be. Gillian and the princess sat on the floor with the poor girl's basket between them. Each held a paring knife in one hand and a large ripe onion in the other. Gillian was showing the princess how to peel the onions. Wet tears streamed down both their faces. At long last, the princess was crying, really crying. The evil spell had been broken, and the royal child could now laugh when she was happy and cry when she was sad. Gillian was given the land and gold and lived in comfort with her old mother, who you will be happy to know was now quite well. The best part of Gillian's land was right next to the castle, and she and the princess played together nearly every day. Sometime many years later, the two could be seen crying together in the kitchen of the castle as they made onion soup. For the princess had grown quite fond of onions since that fateful day when she learned to cry. Thank you. Let's give a hand to our performers who so nicely came up here. That is the story of the princess who could not cry. Why was it important for the princess to be able to cry? Yes. Right. I wonder. Okay. Anyone else? Are there times when you wish you could be happy? Or you could be always happy. Yes? But I wonder. Can there be love without tears and pain? Probably not. Pardon? So you appreciate what makes you happy if you've had some pain. Anyone else?
Just having two people living together that causes friction because they have different ways of doing things. So you can't get away from it.
Yes. Two people, did you hear that? Two people living together just causes friction because they have different ways of doing things. So you can't get away from that. I wonder.
Sometimes when we know someone has to sacrifice, so it's not pleasant.
Sometimes when you know someone, is that what you... When you love someone. Sometimes when you love someone, you have to sacrifice, and it isn't always pleasant. I wonder. Sometimes a good cry is like a good rain. It cleanses everything. I wonder. Today we are exploring together the importance of tears and pain as an aspect of love in our lives. Think about this. How has your tears and fears taught you what is important in life? Each week, we take time to recognize joys and sorrows, the celebrations and struggles of this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter, or from the bowl underneath this bowl, and we allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our life through thought or meditation. We then place them in the cleansing waters of this community, which includes a little bit of water collected from our annual water communion. If you have joys, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles you wish to recognize, you are invited now to come forward in a ritual of joy and sorrow, putting the stones representing your joys and sorrows into the bowl. This stone represents all the joys of our congregants who are not here, including those who are now grandmothers and aunts. And this represents all the sorrows of our congregants who are not here, including those who have family members that are very, very ill. I invite you to enter into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own practice. I invite you to be present here and now to notice your body. Notice the sounds around you. Do not try to silence those sounds, but rather let the sounds become a part of your silence, a part of you. I invite you to notice the smells around you and feel the air and clothing on your skin. Notice how the pew and the floor feel beneath you. I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. In and out. In and out. In this relaxed place, I invite you to listen to the following meditation by Allison C. Gammons, as Joy also accompanies this reading with Spirit of Life. Spirit of the Falls. A spirit once dwelt here, manifest in the rock that guides the water. A spirit dwelt here once, alive in the trees and the plants, holding back dirt, keeping the mountain from sliding to the river. A spirit dwelt here once. I felt as a child visiting this place and playing in the spray of the falls. I felt that the spirit in the mist praying with me, dancing and laughing as I danced and as I laughed. I walked the hidden trails following me. It walked the hidden trails following me as I made my way clear in a search of hidden treasures, a growth of moss in an artful place, a purple flower at the base of the hill, the crooked branches of a tree reaching for the space and the sun. A spirit dwelt here once. I search for it now along the paved trails amid the people and the noise. I strain to find it in the midst of the falls. I seek it in hidden treasures. I look for it in the air, sit and wait for all else to disappear. A spirit dwells here, somewhere beyond the many feet moving quickly on established trails. A spirit dwells here still, past the barricade at the water's edge, laughing and dancing in the distance. A spirit dwells here, still among the purple flowers, sprouting in sheltered silence beyond weather-worn logs. A spirit dwells here still, in the million shades of green growing on branches, forever searching for the fun. A spirit dwells here, still, and longs for a time long before when I found comfort in its essence. Now let us join in our meditation hymn, Spirit of Life.
Thank you.
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving to this community a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this with the hope that these gifts will bring blessings to the world. We do this remembering that love can guide how money is used in the world. We give this to the community so that love can spread to each of us and into the community. We give because we care and wish the message of love without creeds is needed by our ever dogmatic world. This week's offering will be lovingly received. May it be lovingly given. Please join in reciting the offering blessing to the work of this church, which is weaving a tapestry of love communicable. We dedicate ourselves and these offerings. At this point, we have another poem, and this poem will be read by Ron.
This poem is called To Have Without Holding by Marge Piercy. Learning to love differently is hard. Love with the hands wide open. Love with the doors banging on their hinges. The cupboard unlocked, the wind roaring and whimpering in the rooms, rustling the sheets and snapping the blinds that thwack like rubber bands in an open palm. It hurts to love wide open, stretching the muscles that feel as if they were made of wet plaster, then of blunt knives, then of sharp knives. It hurts to thwart the reflexes of grab, of clutch, to love and let go again and again. It pesters to remember the lover who is not in the bed, to hold back what is owed to the work that flutters like a candle in a cave without air, to love consciously, contentiously, concretely, constructively. I can't do it. You say it's killing me. But you thrive, you glow on the street like a neon raspberry. You float and sail, a helium balloon, bright bachelor's button blue, and bobbing on the cold and hot winds of our breath as we make and unmake in passionate diastole and systole the rhythm of our unbound bonding. To have and not hold. To love with minimized malice, hunger and anger, moment by moment, balanced.
Thank you, Ron. There are times in our lives when love is not possible. Perhaps we are overwhelmed by life's experiences. Perhaps there's something chemical within us that prevents us from connecting. Perhaps we have learned ways to stay numb to pain and therefore to love. This is not the same as lacking love in one's life. All possible combinations of experience lie before us, including a life where love is not possible. As Unitarian Universalists, we place love alongside reason as the most important satellites of faith revolving around us and guiding our lives. Yet, we must be able to speak to the experience of love feeling impossible, evasive, and not available. It isn't to say that love is gone forever, but when we are feeling the despair and loss or lack of love, hope is not likely on our radar. It is across the chasm, beyond our reach. Love of all people, no matter what, it's a good ideal, but it will not speak to the survivor of violence in the immediate days and perhaps yours after. It will not speak to the child who has never known a loving relationship in their lives. It will not speak to the person who thinks only about survival at all costs because they have learned that that is all that matters. I used to work with children like that. To be true connoisseurs of love, to live into the wisdom of love, we need to know the full depth of love and the absence of it. We cannot be like the princess who could only laugh, who could only think on the positive, could not imagine a life so desolate that tears were impossible. And the truth is, it sucks to feel that depth of emotion. And yet that depth of emotion is part of what it means to love beyond belief, to love with the fullness that is ourselves. If we are lucky, we live to find a way across the chasm, to be a place of loving, to be actually be a place of loving fully and wholly. Dr. Brené Brown encourages us to risk our hearts, to have the courage to face the deepest pain and deepest joy, for they go hand in hand. You can't feel the depth of one without being able to feel the depth of the other. It is difficult to do. Every person here has likely had a time in their lives when their anger, fear, pain, or sadness left them along and lost, wondering where love was in their lives. It is a real place that might make us think about that when we are alone, the only ones to face that chasm. Magic is simply this: you are not alone. Our hearts are guideposts in our life. There is an art to following those guides because they do not mean what we think they mean. We as Unitarian Universalists can be field guides to the heart and mind. Our love calls us to be with people and ourselves when we are not where we are, not where we hoped we should be. To be those field guides requires us to be brave and risk sharing our experiences and wisdom in those places and to walk with others who are in them. Ours is no caravan of despair, but we are lovers of leaving. Let us, Unitarian Universalists, be known for lovers of showing up, walking with, and staying. Like a little girl who thought to bring an onion to a princess stuck in an emotion that denied the fullness of life. Let us be carriers of the onions and the water and the chocolate and the coffee and the, may it be so. When I am frightened. This is our closing hymn. It is number 1012 in your hymnal. when I am frightened. Several people helped bring off this lovely service written by Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I want to thank Yomi for leading the hymns prior to the service, Ken for getting all the slides together, Joy for playing so wonderfully for us this morning. Sandy and Ron for reading poetry, and all our wonderful players in our play, and Mary for seeing that we had a chalice lighter and people to collect the offering. So thank everyone. Our closing words. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Please look around and see all the people here that you are with, and they are with you. Our service ends. Let our service in the community begin.